May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's lovely to be with you all this morning here at St. Paul's. I've driven past this church many, many times over many, many years, and I've never been inside, so it's such a joy to be with you all this morning. And today I've been asked to speak on the subject of safeguarding because it is Safeguarding Sunday. And I'm watching your faces. And for some of you, there may be a deep sigh. Oh dear, not that again. And for others, a yawn. Well, that's nothing to do with me. But hopefully, for many of you, there's a sense of sitting up and taking note. This is an important subject. It's essential we try and get it right. So whether you're sighing or yawning, or I hope sitting up, I hope that in the coming minutes I can engage with you and perhaps encourage you as a church family as you think about safeguarding here at St. Paul's. So why is safeguarding seen as such an important issue in our churches today? Firstly, because our churches have an open door policy. All are welcome through our doors. We don't check anyone as they come in. We don't ask for proof of identity. We don't check criminal records. We don't even make a note of people's names. We welcome all who come in, Sunday by Sunday, week by week. Now, unlike a school, if you walked into a school, you'd immediately be stopped and they'd say, "What were you doing there?" And you wouldn't be allowed further than the front desk unless you had a reason and an explanation of who you were seeing, and you'd have to sign in the register to say you were there. And similarly, if you go into a hospital, somebody will stop you and say, "Why are you here? Who have you come to see?" And we who come to church may be old or young, a lovely spectrum here, fit or frail, well off or destitute, of good mental health, or perhaps struggling. Anyone and everyone can come in through our doors. And the Bible recognizes vulnerability, and we have this lovely story in Matthew that we heard read in the Gospel. Jesus putting the little children in front of everybody and saying, "They are important, and you must not harm them. And if anybody harms a child, to a better they had a millstone round their neck and drowned." It's hard words, but that's how seriously Jesus wants us to take the safety and security of our children. And it's not just the children. We see Jesus caring for the sick, caring for the vulnerable, looking and noticing those who are on the sidelines, who perhaps others aren't seeing, but who need help and support. And often vulnerability is evident. Obviously, small children, frail adults, those with obvious disabilities. But very frequently, vulnerability is hidden. Being a partner in an abusive relationship, or having a past history of abuse, perhaps in a church, the deep scars of which persist, may not be visible. And we think we know each other, don't we, as we come Sunday by Sunday and we sit often in the same seats and we know the people who usually sit round about us. But I doubt any of us really know everything about all of us here. Never mind those who might be coming in for the first time. And of course, anyone can become vulnerable at any time. Perhaps an unexpected fall resulting in a broken leg, which means walking is very difficult, and suddenly doing the shopping and things becomes tricky. Or perhaps a period of depression linked maybe to a bereavement. Or a harsh critical word from another church member. All these things can make us vulnerable. Safeguarding is not just them and us, the well-balanced, mature, physically fit members, and them, the children and the flaky. Safeguarding is by all of us, for all of us. Now, I'm sure you know who your safeguarding officer is. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you know the name of your safeguarding officer. That's pretty good. Most churches I go to and ask this question, you know, maybe two people put their hands up and are looking around, and you can't quite see the notice from where you're seated to see the name. So it's Lucy Williams is your safeguarding officer. Is Lucy here? Right, Lucy, stand up. Show your face. This is Lucy. So this is your safeguarding officer, and her face, together with the face of Jenny, who I think you share a lot of responsibility with, is on the safeguarding notice, which is by the front door, which is just where it should be, because you want it to be easily found. So if someone is in trouble, they don't want to be hunting high and low, looking sort of behind columns. They want to be able to find the names and the photographs and the phone numbers easily. Now, I'm sure you know that as well as the safeguarding officers, you've obviously got your ministry team, you've got your PCC, and all of them will be having safeguarding training. It's seen as recognized as very important. And they will have DBS checks as well. And I know that you will have policies, safeguarding policies in place, and that you take this seriously, and on your PCC agenda, you have safeguarding as an item. I think that's right. Is that right? Yes. So safeguarding is something that's at the forefront of your church's mind. So that all those in leadership in the church understand and commit to ensure that this church is a safe place for all to come and worship. So you can breathe a sigh of relief. That's all right then. It's all sorted. I could sit down now, but I'm not going to. Let me ask you a question. What would you do if, after the service, when you're having a chat, the person you're having a chat with, somebody that comes regularly, you notice that they've got a bruise on their face? They've tried to cover it up with some makeup, but you can see it. What do you do? Perhaps you say a quick silent prayer, and then perhaps you ask quietly, "That looks sore. How did that happen?" "I walked into a door. I'm so stupid," they might say. But perhaps, just perhaps, she might share quietly that someone has hit her and that this is not the first time it's happened. You may be the person who she feels she can share this with. And you need to know what to do next. Panic. Promise to pray and then do nothing. Or perhaps continue to speak with her, perhaps try and understand a little bit more of what's been happening to her. And then share confidentially with the safeguarding officer. Domestic abuse, sadly, in this country, is a far too common affair. It's estimated that 2.3 million adults in the UK in the last year had been victims of domestic abuse. 2.3 million adults. 6.6% of all women in the UK, it is estimated, have been victims of domestic abuse. I find those figures shocking. I don't know about you. Or maybe, to continue our stories, maybe you're chatting with an older church member and they share with you that a wonderful neighbour who comes along to church sometimes has been helping them and is now doing all the shopping, and they've taken her bank card because it's easier to do the shopping. And you know that this older person has no family living close by, no one to keep an eye on things, and she's getting a little bit muddly. What do you do? You tell the safeguarding officer, who in confidence will advise and guide as to what to do next. And supporting the safeguarding officer, obviously, is the leadership team in your church, but there's the whole team at the diocese, the safeguarding team at the diocese, who are safeguarding experts, including an ex-policeman, and who will know what to do and provide help and support, particularly for more complex and difficult problems. The Bible is full of commands to care for the widows and the orphans, and to care for the little ones, and to bear one another's burdens and support the needy and the oppressed. Because God, our God, Father, Son, and Spirit, loves and cares for each one of us deeply and completely. And our gospel and our God in the gospel reminds us to love one another as much as we love God and love ourselves. And as we're all too aware, for centuries, the church in this country, of all churchmanships, of all denominations, has covered up and ignored abuse, historic and current. It's thought more of its own reputation than it has of the suffering of the victims of abuse. But change is taking place. There is a change in attitude. It's slow. And there have been many reports, and the recommendations of these reports still have not yet been taken and made to happen. But there is a change in the way that we as a church react and repent. And that change is underway here at St. Paul's with all your safeguarding policies and procedures. But ultimately, that change involves each one of us, each one of you, because we are all the body of Christ. We are all responsible for one another, to pray for one another. And so let's be those who are always praying and being aware that this is a real issue in our lives and in our world today. I'm going to ask us to keep a moment's quiet, and then I'll close in a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your love for each one of us. Thank you that you know each one of us deeply and completely. And Lord, there may be some of us here today who have suffered in the past from abuse of some kind. Lord, you know. And Lord, you long to bring your healing and restoring. Help us as a church to think carefully about safeguarding as an important issue and to see our place and play our role in keeping this church a safe place and a place where you're glorified. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.